Hey there, welcome to the House and Bond Podcast. I'm your host, Anna Dana, Head of Growth at SaaS Group. Here, LaQuire buying wonderful SaaS businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business a success. And today with me is Johannes, founder of Trustmary, helping businesses collect, manage, and display customer reviews and testimonials. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Awesome. I'm really glad you are, because I think I mentioned it just a minute ago. There haven't been too many founders from Finland here. We really haven't been able to like crack our way into SaaS there. I think you're the second one. The first one was Antti from AdSearch, and that's the company we acquired. So that made sense. But yeah, welcome to the show. And you know, maybe let's start with your background, because you've got quite a bit of experience in SaaS. Maybe you can talk about that a little.
Yeah, I have actually pretty long history as an entrepreneur and as a founder, but the SaaS history is not so long. We started our SaaS 2020 after COVID here in Finland, but the history of our business, what we are doing, it started from 2016. We started to produce high quality testimonial videos and articles about happy clients. And that is how we started. And the mission is still the same, but we transformed the business from SaaS after COVID. And that is how our SaaS started. So we have always helped good companies to show the social proof and show the happy clients and use that social proof in their marketing and collect the voice of the satisfied clients. We transformed the business. We exited that project business and then put all the focus on PLG product, the growth SaaS, with the help of the Vendep Capital, the seed investor of us. And so 2020, we started here in Finland doing outbound SaaS. And after the investment, early 22, we launched a freemium product and started to go global. And we are following that journey now. And having clients in 80 countries everywhere, a lot of small and micro businesses, everyday new clients from everywhere. And just now we are building some kind of sales motion in specific areas and specific countries where we see the best traction. And for this year, our goal is to open the sales motion in the most interesting areas. For example, in Germany, it seems to be very interesting now. We are getting a lot of good clients there. And first German-speaking local guy is now helping them. And it seems to be a good choice. So let's see.
All right. That's interesting. Like you said, you're just starting with the sales motion. So it's been PLG. But I was wondering, because you started with this kind of more of a service business, how your customer base has changed, and if you have used any of those customers or migrated them to your SaaS model, and yeah, how your communication with them changed.
Yeah, it was not easy, because that's project business which we started, it started pretty quickly and we grew fast and we reached millions of the revenue during the first couple of years, and we went global, and we opened the office in Minneapolis, in Raleigh, in the USA, and also in the Sweden. And we produced those videos in 14 countries, but pretty quickly we also noticed that that is not a scalable way to solve that business. We had a lot of, many companies wanted to have those content, those testimonial videos, but they didn't know that who are the advocates, the satisfied clients who would like to join the videos. And so we had a lot of projects on our ERP system, but not contacts for those videos. So we faced a pretty big problem that we couldn't produce those videos we promised to produce, because we and the companies who had ordered those videos, they didn't know that who are the contacts, who are the happy clients. And that is how we created the first version of Trustmary, the piece of software. And we used that software to find out that who are happy, who are satisfied, who want to recommend those companies publicly. And that is how our software started. And when the COVID hit 2020, our project business it was impossible to do anything. So our revenue went down from the hundreds of thousands to almost zero. And we almost did a bankrupt because of that. But we had that piece of software. And we, all of the other people, not the sales rep, but all the other people, but not sales, they went to the holiday. And we continued with the sales reps and started to build cash flow with help of that piece of software. And that is how our SaaS started. And when the situation was back in normal, and there is no COVID anymore, and so pretty quickly we also were able to get that content business back, but still we had started that pretty strong SaaS sales. And we already had hundreds of new clients here in Finland. And of course, we sold that software to the project businesses we used to help, the project clients we used to serve with the testimonial videos. And so we pretty honestly and openly tell the current clients that okay, now we cannot produce those videos because people are not allowing us to go to their homes, and there is also I don't know, do you remember those barriers? You couldn't go to some cities, and you need to write some permissions and so on. It was very hard to do anything then. And of course, the companies, they didn't want to spend any money to testimony have videos that time. So we contacted them and said that okay, now we have that software and we can do that fully remotely, and of course, the price is very low, and we wanted just to have a clients here in Finland. And it's just outbound case, fully outbound, but quick start. And that is also why the investors started to ask, what is that? What are you doing, guys? That what is that new software coming from Finland? And it seems that many companies are using it now. So that is how it started. And of course, when the things were back in normal, our strategic focus was on software. And we read everything about SaaS businesses, and we were very, very interested in SaaS business, and we didn't want to continue that content business anymore. And that's why we exited that a little bit later to get the full focus on PLC SaaS.
That makes sense. So you leveraged your...
Not a normal story at all. I think that without the COVID, I think that we might doing still some testimonial videos in the USA and the Sweden and the France and so on. But that's a good thing. I have studied information system science in the university like 50 years ago, and now I know why I studied those. Now I need that. Now I need those, that understanding of what we gathered during those university years.
Yeah, it all fell into place. That's wonderful. I wanted to ask you about the name, because at first I was like, trust Mary, who's Mary? What is going on? And I didn't know what it was. So can you tell me where the name is coming from?
That's another story without any bigger reason behind that. So when we went global, that is actually time before the SaaS business, when we went global. And I remember that our board members, they wanted to change the name to be more global. We had a kokemuksia.fi, that is in Finland, that is like experiences.com or something like that, the experience of the people. So that was the name, the kokemuksia was the name in Finnish.
Not very international.
Not good when you do a global business. So that's why we wanted to change it. And I was driving to the board meeting to Helsinki from Jyväskylä, and hadn't any name in my mind, but I had promised to that I had a new name. And then I had a phone calls with my friends, and we had a discussion that okay, we are building trust, we are helping companies to build trust with the clients and to get more conversions, more sales with the increased trust. That is what we are now doing. In the end, we are doing. And we are also telling the story that we are helping them to use the customer voice to build the trust. And the Mary is the most common name in the world, globally. It is in every country. And that's why I think this is something how we just of course we tested many different kind of names, and we googled the domains which are free, and then we know it's okay, Trust Mary, that's a totally new name. There is no one has used that anywhere. There is no YouTube channels or Twitter accounts or Facebook accounts based on that name. So that's totally free. And all the domains are free also. So that is how we picked up the Trust Mary.
Okay.
I also called some US friends and asked that how does this sound? Is that possible to use? What kind of feelings you are getting? What's the association of that name? What you are getting and so on? So and they said that it's like I don't know what's the name in English, but some trust engine. The Trust Mary, it's some association that you are an engine of trust or something like that. When you are thinking about it just a name without that Trust and Mary separately, but when you are thinking them Trust Mary together as a new name, it has some association about some
okay.
Trust engine or something like that.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. What popped into my mind when I saw it, and I didn't know that it's supposed to be together, and I thought it's actually Trust Mary, and I was like, yeah, okay, who's Mary? But then again, like, if you're talking about the feeling, I was kind of like, yeah, that's smart, because like, yeah, it's like trusting an opinion of your, I don't know, neighbor. It sounds like, you know, very homey.
Everyone Somebody's knows coming Mary. To you. Some Mary.
Yeah, right? Everyone knows a Mary. Wonderful. Okay, well, in your profile, and you know, I'm crawling around LinkedIn's religiously before every podcast. So on yours, it says CEO of Trust Mary, B2B SaaS, customer-led growth. And that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I want to know what it means to you, customer-led growth, and how you're making it happen.
Oh, that's a great question. That is a mission why I wake up every morning. I started a digital marketing entrepreneur in 2010, and I produced websites for the different kind of growth companies. And that was a time when the Facebook marketing was a new thing, and Google AdWords was a new thing. And I was pretty good at doing that, and I had hundreds of personal clients. And of course, those clients, they want to have more leads through the web. And every time we changed the brand, and we made a responsive, mobile friendly websites, we added new forms, new call to actions, we edit the messages, everything increased the conversion rate. But then I noticed that if we add testimonial stories and the comments of the clients, and we gather that social proof from the current paying clients, we are getting better results and more conversions. And I started to do that with every customer I had. I called the clients of them, and I write those articles. I produced the videos with help of the freelancers, and that's how I started. That okay, that's pretty hard to do. There is no concept to do that. It's not easy to do that. There is no products for that. And then I also noticed that when we put those messages from the current clients, the comments from the current clients, they are more relevant for the new clients, which are similar than those current clients. So if you are telling the story of the 50 years old Mary, who has bought the new kitchen, there will be more Marys, more 50 years old Marys. And that current client, that Mary, is very happy. And so the probability that that new Mary is going to be happy is also very high, because you are used to serve Marys. And that is the customer-led growth. And I started to get that feedback from my website clients that we are getting better clients now, better new clients than we used to get, because we are now using those testimonials of those current clients, which are, they feel that they are relevant and they can see that, okay, that's like me. If they can, if this is happy, if he's happy, he or she is happy and he's like me, maybe they can help me too. I want to contact this company. Of course, you need to focus on fix the problems. Ask the feedback, fix the problems, and then your goal is that all the clients are happy, all the clients are satisfied. But in the end, if you use that voice in your marketing and you let them tell your story in their marketing, you are going to get more of the clients who will be happy and which are more easier to get them happy because you know them and they are similar like you used to do.
How are you making it work for Trustmary? Like, because I saw that the post that you did two months ago about offering free trials and kind of like handholding your new customers in order to learn what they want, what they would like to have in the tool or how they want to use it and stuff. So basically doing the customer research and personally walking them through that onboarding. Is that how you kind of living that belief with Trustmary, or are you doing it differently?
I think we don't even think about that at Trustmary because we have been working with that problem with our clients. I think that we are very strongly customer-centric everywhere, and we do a lot of things for free. We had one pipeline thinking that everyone is responsible for pushing the customer forward. So we think about that our responsibility is to help customers to go forward to get the more value, and everyone is thinking through that kind of lenses, and that is what we are doing everywhere. And for us, I think that we could, for example, send some invoices about all the things what we do together with the clients, but we don't do that because we know that in the end, when they are happy, they stay, they want to pay more, they are going to get more value, they tell to their friends, and our goal is that all of our clients are happy and they are satisfied. And of course, you cannot serve everyone, but if you show the social proof of your current clients, you are going to get the clients you want to have in future also. It goes back to the ICP thinking. So you need to know your ideal client. And who is your ideal client? It's the client you can serve well. And it's the client who is happy and who is getting value from your services. And that's why we have always done a lot of things for free. And we are always thinking that how we can help that client to go forward, to do the next thing, to get the next value, activate more. And to do that, you cannot do that in silos. You need to cooperate with every function. And you need to understand that, okay, I'm in marketing. My goal is to push forward those leads to be signups and to activate them, activate user, and then maybe one day they can convert to paying client. This is mostly my job. But of course, I can help those, for example, customer success people with the retention things. If I have some ideas. So everyone is seeing the whole picture, the whole pipeline, and they are trying to do the activities what they know best.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a great sense. How big is the team?
We have 20 plus people now.
Okay. All right. So pretty lean. Yeah, all right. And how many of those are sales and marketing?
Marketing, 3 people, sales, 4 people.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's super interesting. And the rest is customer support and developers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. What's your favorite job within the team?
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. Academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
Being with the client, I like to be everywhere where we can solve that the customer problems. I like to spend a lot of time with the product development and thinking about that how we can be better at solving some specific micro problem of our client. Or I really like to be with our sales reps in sales calls and meetings, trying to understand the client better, trying to understand why they are not choosing us, why they are choosing something else. And I really love to be with the client, and I think that you can be with the client in every function. It's a little bit different perspective what you are looking when you are with the marketing and when you're with the customer success and dealing with the retention or the churn. When you are calling to the client and trying to have them to continue the contract, and when you are doing a marketing, but every time you are with the client, the maturity of the client is just a different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you're also, well, I guess that's kind of the founder mode, if anyone remembers what it is. But you're also very active with your personal brand, and I wonder how much of what you're doing comes from this like founder-led sales, because yeah, your LinkedIn is very active. You have different experiments. So it's kind of crawling around. You have a podcast now. You've got a bunch of videos going on, lots of posts, which are very relevant. So why did you decide to do it in the first place? And yeah, how much of, you know, maybe the pipeline or the retention is coming from your personal brand?
I think not much. In Finland, we used to use my brand a lot, like when we started. But I was very quiet maybe 2 years when we started the PLC product-led SaaS, because it was so difficult. It was so hard to get good traction. We started to get a lot of signups, and I think that our product was okay, but the onboarding and everything related to self-service funnel and the product crawl was crap. And it was so hard to get the good traction, and that's why I think that I had nothing to say on LinkedIn, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not able to do what I want to do, and so. I think it took 2 years to get the self-confidence back, what I used to have with the other businesses I have done and with the project business, what we had before SaaS. So it was a totally new thing for me, and that's why I stayed quiet for 2 years. And now I have started it again, because I'm feeling that, okay, now we know what we are doing. We know that we are having clients everywhere. We have new clients every day. And it seems that our product is good product, and we can compete globally against the big VC backed other SaaS softwares, and I have that confidence, and that's why I decided that okay, now it's time to go out again and try to. I have always loved to share the experience and the learnings what I have went through during the years. I have always done that since I started to be an entrepreneur here in Finland a lot, but not now I can do that globally, because now I know the global things also. I know that there's a lot of European startups, for example, thousands of European startups who want to go global. And so I can share my experiences now, and I can help them. Maybe I know that I will get that back somehow in the future. I truly believe that if you give a lot, you will get that back. You don't know how, but in the end, you will get back the value you give to the others. So that's why I started to do that. But I was very quiet then, and I think that now the pipeline and the new clients, I'm not responsible for that at all. The product is doing the thing. Our sales reps and marketing is doing the thing. I'm just one figure in our marketing content. So I'm not the reason why we are getting the signups. But I know that I can be in one day if I just continue to bring in and giving the value to other people, and that I can do that on LinkedIn. I can do that participating to podcasts like that and things like that. That is something what I'm now actively doing, not using hours per day, but thoughts. I'm thinking about that a lot in the evening time. I have 4 kids. I'm living here in countryside, central Finland. I have great evenings with the family, family, and of course, as an entrepreneur, you are thinking entrepreneurship things a lot. And when I'm staying awake with the kids in the night or something, I'm thinking about LinkedIn posts. I'm thinking that how could I bring more value to the followers there, and what kind of, I think the best stories and the best posts have came to my mind in the evening and then during the nights when you are staying awake. And as an entrepreneur, you cannot get rid of that. That's a lifestyle. My mission is to help good companies to reach the full potential through the happy clients and use the voice of the happy clients. I'm thinking about that a lot. Oh, yeah. No, we have a sun here in Finland.
That's okay. That's sun in Finland. Come on. Let us see that. But yeah, all right. So since you started talking about going global, and I think, we had all kinds of founders here. We had founders who have been going global from day one. We had founders who decided to start with something smaller. There have been quite a bit who started with Germany and then, expanded into DACH market and then got stuck. Some got out and became global. What was your approach? And how did you win those 80 countries?
I think it's just a hard iteration and a work. So every day iteration, every week iteration, because it took a very long time. The roadmap was like 2022, we launched a freemium product. We started to get the freemium signups. We did that on Product Hunt. So most of the signups, they were the freelancers or other software startup founders or something like that. Not our ideal client at all. But we got signups, we got the feedback from them. And I think that the first 8 or 7 months, we got mostly only the freemium signups, but not any upgrade. And we did a mistake that we waited to have upgrade, do the paid conversion too early. And we focused on the sign up and then we focused on to get them to convert to paying user. And we skipped the activation part. And we iterated that sign up process, and we iterated that how we can get them to convert. And of course, we thought about a little bit about the activation, but we didn't understand that the activation is the thing when you are doing the sales service. When we started to measure the activation level after a couple of months, it was a couple of percent, like 8% or something of the signups, they activated themselves. They did a thing what we wanted them to do. They installed a script to their website and they import the existing reviews from Google to Trustmary and so on. So they did the first good task and the events. We started to follow that metrics and do the onboarding and things related to that. And then now the activation level is more than 50% or something. And every week we got a small increase to that activation level. And after a year, we started to get the conversions. So the paying users. And of course we put the price point very low to just to know that are they paying anything? What's the level they think that they can pay for something? But it took a year before getting the first good conversions, and then we started to iterate that level to the upsell and the retention and everything. So after a year, we got the first upgrades, the paying users from that self-service funnel, and it took a year to get the first upsells and the average price to a level where we can think that, okay, maybe that's a scalable thing. So, but everything was totally self-service. We didn't do any sales motion for them. We just waited the self-service activation, and that is how it started to go global.
Okay.
Organic SEO, search engine optimization, and Google, of course.
Yeah, that was exactly my next question. Like, where you were getting the clients from?
And you need to do a lot of things together with the marketing, because the intention of the website visitor is everything. Who is the website visitor? That is everything. You are not able to get any activation or conversion if the visitor is not looking for the solution you are offering, and if the visitor is not having the problem you can solve. Well, so you need to do it hand in hand together with the marketing, the SEO optimization, Google AdWords, and then the activation, and the search engine optimization needs to know the metrics of the activation and the metrics of the conversions, because those are the metrics they need to use when they are doing the search engine optimization. We used to get a lot of signups and the visitor from Spain with some keywords, but in the end it seems that they didn't activate and they didn't pay at all in the end. So, and it is just messy that we got that amount of very, very much of visitors from the Spain, and that is not a good thing, because in marketing you can think that it's nice to have a lot of visitors and a lot of signups, but that's not a good thing if you don't understand that what is the actual impact to the revenue, actual impact of the activation. So you need to do everything together.
Yeah, that's, I think that's so important to remember. Like marketing can, I think, slide into this kind of number thing and vanity metrics thing very quickly if you don't really see the goal there, or you don't know how it impacts other teams and what they're doing. So yeah, I think what you were saying about just having everyone aligned on the goal and where it should be going, that's pretty important to remember. Are you guys doing anything with AI? I mean, I have to ask, right?
We have AI features in our product. We are analyzing the reviews and the feedback and giving some insight about them to the companies, that what they should do next and what they should fix. We are doing that. We have had a long time that our own customer review score, and we are, for example, showing the best reviews based on the content of the reviews automatically. And so we can order reviews in review widgets on website based on the content of that. So, and we have the Trustmary AI score what we are using. So of course we're trying to do more with the AI. We have a very strong and a big product vision what we are now of course doing, and the roadmap for that, and there is a lot of AI things in.
Yeah. How did you decide to jump on it? Was it because, you know, okay, everyone's doing it, and at the end of the day, we'll find maybe a way to for it to bring value? Or did you have a more of a focused approach? Okay, this is the thing that we want to solve with AI, and this is definitely where our customers are going to see the value and you went with this?
I think that the first ideas came from our customers when we, with our bigger customers, they started to tell us that they exported the data from Trustmary and they used their own AI engine to do the analysis of that. And I think there are things like that. And then we, okay, you don't need to do exporting from the Trustmary. We can do that on Trustmary for you. And I think the best ideas came from our clients. And we also, I remember that we had some kind of workshop years ago where we decided to find out that how we can bring more that core value, not additional extra value, but core value more with help of the AI. So what are the key features and what is the core value that we are now bringing through our current features? And where are the places where we could bring more that value with help of the AI? And ideally how those features would work in future, automatically on autopilot or something. And we had that kind of workshop and so we tried, because with the AI it's pretty easy to find out more different kind of new features and things. You can do a lot of with AI, but the thing is that how you can bring more that core value, what was the value why your clients choose you when they started as a client, and you need to give more of that.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Not an additional one, but doubling down on what they already have, making it even better.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Okay. Interesting. I don't think I've ever heard anybody yet here on the podcast who would say it's the clients who requested AI and that's why we started doing it, because maybe because it's just a bit early with AI and the customers also didn't really know what they want to do with it. But yeah, okay, that's going to be the first. Okay, I just have a couple more questions. They're usual here. And yeah, I mean, you're growing very nicely. It seems like, you know what you're doing. You have a focus. You have this new manifesto, by the way, that... you also, yeah, that you also said you're very, very excited about. And that's something that makes you wake up in the morning. So maybe you can throw a few words about that. But yeah, what's so far been the biggest win and the biggest failure for you personally as a founder or for Trustmary as a company?
I have done so many failures. So I cannot even calculate them, because I'm doing them every day a lot, and that's my job to do that. That's our job to do failures and do mistakes, because that's how you learn, and that's how you learn that what are working and what are not. And during that, when we launched that freemium product, all of us we thought that we are going to get a very quick start, and we know how things are working, and we are going to get a lot of conversions. But after 6 months without any paying new client from that self-service funnel, we started to understand that, okay, it's all about the failures. It's all about that we, every day when we wake up, we need to have 20 new ideas what we are going to test next. And we need to be ready that 19 of them or 20 of them are not going to work at all. But still, we need to continue. And my biggest mistake, I think, is that I didn't know that you need to do so much failures, the small failures and the micro failures when you are doing a totally new thing. And the SaaS business is so hard, especially the self-service P2P SaaS. It's very hard. And I also noticed that when I, because it was so hard when we started, I tried to find someone from Finland to help us. So I started scanning all the people who could do similar things like us. But it was very hard to find anyone in Finland who has done the self-service P2P SaaS. Of course, many are doing P2P SaaS, but the self-service it's totally different thing. And I find only a couple of companies here in Finland, and I contacted them, and founders are, most of the founders are helping other founders, and they like to help. And I found some people who had done, and that helped a lot. And I think that is the biggest learning, that if you want to go faster, you really need to find someone who is having the concrete specific experience of the things you are doing and facing just now. Not someone at the port or advisor or some VC. They don't know anything about because they don't have done the seed iterate work what you need to do every day. So you need to find someone who has done the concrete and real things. And of course, ideally, it's someone who is doing very similar things like you. And that's a big thing. When we found that kind of person, and we started to have weekly meetings with him, and I solved up with the list of the 30 things what I'm going to do during this week. And I asked him that what I should do from that list. And he said, okay, you can do 3 of those and forget those 27 of those lists. And that was helping a lot. The prioritizing, the focus, the time spent to the right things, on right things. And that was the biggest, I think, that the some kind of moment where we start to get better traction every week when we started to listen carefully to someone who has done just the similar things like us. But as a founder, many founders like me, we are different kind of, I don't know what's the name in English, but that animal or something like that.
Species.
We think that we should know everything, because when you are working with your own team and you are representing as a founder and you are the CEO of the company, you think that you need to know everything internally. And then you're thinking about, okay, I need to also show that externally. And when you are having discussion with the VCs and investors and clients, you every time you try to tell that I know everything. You try to build trust through that. And it's for the founder, it's very hard to tell that I don't actually know what I'm doing, because you need to know so much. You need to tell that you know so much, even if you don't know, to build the trust, to get the people to follow you. For example, to get the team to follow you, you need to tell them that, okay, I know where we are heading. I have that vision, and we know that we can do that, even actually you don't know how to do that. So that's the thing, and so maybe that is why it's very hard to be honest and ask help for someone who has done it before. And many times, for example, for us, it was not actually the founder it was like a third or second employee of the company who has done the similar things. So he wasn't the founder gave us the contact details. Okay, that guy can help you, because it seems that you are having a problems. We used to have the similar problems, and our guy, he did that. He cracked that, and please contact him. He's not working at our company anymore, but I'm sure that he will help you, and he knows. But that is how we, and that's why, as a founder, as a VC-backed startup founder with the LinkedIn followers, 16,000 LinkedIn followers, I needed to find that other guy and told him that I don't know anything about that. Please help me. I'm listening to you a lot. Tell me what I should do next, and things like that. So that's the biggest learning, and the biggest mistake is that we thought that we don't need to do the iterations and micro failures, thousands of micro failures.
That's very interesting. I think about it as well. Like when I joined SaaS Group, I think I told this story like a million times already. I didn't know what M&A was. I was like, what's an exit? where are we going? And now being 2 years and, you know, talking to tons of founders, VCs, M&A advisors, I think I know even less. I think there, now I realize there is like such a enormous amount of information behind it still, that yeah, it's just a never ending learning. And it's very difficult to say in a way, because yes, you are kind of trusted. You're the, you know, the person that people want to talk to in the company. And, but at the same time, you know what, let's do it. Let's figure it out. I think it will be even better if we figure it out together and we find the best solution together. And I think that also builds great trust, because you cannot just be a robot that knows everything.
Yeah, but still, there are other places where you need to show that you know what you're doing. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because I am having that metaphor. This is the metaphor in English. Metaphor. Yeah,
metaphor.
Metaphor. In Finnish, we say metaphor. That when you start as a new startup, you have only the idea and you have a small team, but you are in the middle of the jungle and you are going to die if you can't get out from that jungle. And your job is to get out of the jungle, and there are the days where everything is dark and you don't see anything. And then someone from your team says, okay, there is a small path. Let's follow that. But when you start to follow that path, it can be just more dangerous. There can be snakes or there can be some other things. But you need to find something to follow when you start. And finally, you will find a little bit bigger path, and you will know that, okay, that is actually going to be a road. And you see the horizon, and you start to see the sun. And in the one day, you go out from the jungle and you are driving in a tarmac, and then everything is great and the sun is shining. And that's a metaphor I'm using, that as an employee also. It's pretty easy to work at the company who is driving with white roads outside of jungle. It's totally different to work at the startup in the middle of the jungle. It's a small team, and there is only one founder or one CEO who says, okay, we can get out of that jungle. I know that we can get out of the jungle. And it has, for us, it has been like that. And we used to have Christmas party every year. And I have used that metaphor in our Christmas party, and people are waiting that I'm telling them where we are now. Are we still in the middle of the jungle? Are we seeing a little bit more light? Are we seeing a horizon? And so horizon or things like that. So that is very good metaphor to talk honestly with your employees also, that where we are now, based on that metaphor and what we should do next to get the next stage of that metaphor.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that. And okay, so the last question is always about a hack. And I feel like the learning that you shared could also constitute as a hack in a way. But yeah, anything that kind of works for you or for the company and you think other founders would benefit from?
It is always valuable to spend time more with your clients and the customers. That is something. If you don't know what to do next, spend more time with your clients, learn from them, ask the questions, build the relationship. Don't try to automate everything, and don't try to automate the customer success and the support, because you are not learning through. If you are automating everything, don't use AI templates too much. I think that's the, because I remember that we followed that product-led growth approach maybe too strictly, too strongly. We read Westbus books and all the things and theories related to product-led growth, and we followed that step by step. And we, and that that is, that was also why we didn't had those calls and the demos and the discussions without the clients, because we wanted to see the impact of activities we do with the self-service funnel. So, but I think that when we started to have, okay, now I know what's the hack. I remember that we installed a live chat. We kicked out the Intergom chat we used to have, and we took freemium live chat to our product, and we started to have live conversations with our users through the chat on our product, and we started to share the Google Meet link with the users that please join the call. And I remember I was, you know, I had a couple of calls with the French users, and they didn't speak English at all. And with my own bad English, we used the comment section, and we used the translated, and we used our hands, and we said our screen. But it was very funny. I learned a lot from their cases. It was some pike repairer in France. They very small business, but I found out that how they have find us, what they are looking for, why they are struggling with the things they try to do and everything. But the live chat was the thing, because after that we started to have those conversations with those anonymous, no face self-service users we used to have before that. We just had an email, maybe the company name, but still we didn't know them well. But when we started to have those 15 minutes discovery, or it's a Puukko expert. Puukko expert was the funnel. So we built some kind of Puukko expert, Puukko call with the expert funnel. And then we started to give free 15 minutes or 30 minutes the demos and the calls. And we started to learn faster. That is actually the idea what came from that guy we found from that other company who had done similar things like us. He told us that they started to offer that free session with the expert, 15 minutes for everyone. And when their calendar was so full, then they started to do the prioritizing. But first they tried to have all the calls what was possible to get with the clients to get the understanding. And that is also how they build some product-led sales motion. And that is what we are now doing in specific areas. So we are having those expert calls in Germany, in UK, in USA. And through of those calls, we have got, for example, billion companies from the USA as a client and so on. So live chat, install the live chat and start to have discussions with your freemium users, even they are not paying you anything. Just have a discussion and ask them, why are you not paying?
Yeah. Okay, that's a great one. To be honest, I think it's very interesting that here in this part of the podcast, some hacks, most of the hacks, I think, and most of the wins too, they are either about the team, the hiring, you know, the culture, or the clients. And, you know, I haven't heard anybody ever say, okay, you can forget about, you know, customer communication. You know what you're doing. Mm. Everyone says, we don't know what we're doing. We want to ask you what we should be doing. And that makes sense. Well, thank you so much for sharing the story. I think it's great what you're doing. You seem like you're having fun with all the experience. It's really interesting to actually follow what you're doing on LinkedIn, what you're talking about. So, hopefully we can do it again sometime.
Yeah, let's stay in contact.
All right. Great to have you here. Thank you and take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.